The entertainment will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 395. I'm Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by my co-host, Nicole Shiro. Nick to the first. Oh, I didn't have the microphone up.
Alone.
You're listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
I could have a mansion on a...
It is Wednesday, January 11th, 2017. On the show today, we have Austin Playhouse and their show, Stephen Dietz's Bloomsday, and City Theater will be here with Beth Hensley's Crimes of the Heart. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, in New York, in Connecticut, and anywhere else where people are and talking about theater. I'm very sad that I didn't do the Anna Kendrick version of this song.
Oh, well...
Because you know I have a little girl crush on Anna Kendrick.
I was like, why didn't you? Was that a choice or it was just...
Well, because I don't typically do movie soundtracks.
Oh, well, you know, mix it up every once in a while. Lisa, live on the edge in 2017.
It's a show about theater. We're going to talk about...
But it's theater on the screen.
We will be talking about movie musicals in just a second.
Yeah, see, you're going to put La La Land there, but you don't get that in there. That doesn't make sense.
So, one more week without the other Nick.
Yeah,
We miss our Nick Mayo.
I don't like not being square.
No, and it dawned on me, we didn't send enough shout-outs to him last week, and that's probably why he didn't come back this week.
Probably.
So, Nick Mayo, come home. All is forgiven.
Normally texts us. Well, maybe he really did have meetings. He wasn't lying.
No, he was lying.
Because he didn't text us like he normally does when he misses.
That's true. That's true. Well, another wonderful show of
us?
I just totally lost it.
Just the two of us.
No, it's Kim Simpson's show's name.
Oh.
International Folk Bazaar.
Yes, that I said
Northern
Scandinavian. You correct me, Northern.
Yes.
That was
very
pretty
specific.
Awesome sauce.
Yeah, Mr. Morley.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Scandinavian, but I'll go with it.
Neither. Well,
it was. I was jamming
was
in the car.
Did a good job. I love, you know what?
I love that, Kim.
I have to say.
I think we say it, but I can't
say
it.
I have to say a lot. but no, I love world music, and I'm so happy that he's preceding us, because I always listen before I come in.
It does. It makes me happy.
He
talks about us on his show.
Oh, I hope so. Let's talk about who's here with us.
We've got some people.
From my left, we have Aaron Johnson. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome. Fourth time on the show, first time with me. You're in big trouble now.
What an honor.
Claire Grasso, hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
And Hannah Lane Farrell, welcome.
Thank you.
And Sharon Embry. Embry.
Shannon Embry, yes.
Shannon, I'm going to change it to Sharon. So here's the deal. I'm wearing my low-powered glasses. I need to switch to my higher-powered glasses. I have two pairs.
Which is why she has the magnification still on the glass.
So
she knows which pair is from the other pair.
Okay, so who watched the Golden Globes on Sunday? Mm. Anybody?
No.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't watch them?
No.
Oh.
We had rehearsals.
Well,
that wasn't why I didn't watch it.
Didn't you watch it?
I'm in overload of all that junk. To be honest,
It's the first award show of the season. How can you be in overload already?
Because I'm in my own world preparing for stuff, and I just
you got
much.
Your own awards ceremony. You got the Maripolitan Awards to talk about.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know. I guess because I can go online and see who's winning, right? In real time,
no, it's much more fun.
It drags out to me. I find all that stuff just so...
Hannah and I agree, and you were wrong, so it's two against one.
I just record it so I can fast forward to the parts I don't want to watch.
Yeah, I had other stuff recording, so I couldn't.
I was surprised. La La Land, has anybody other than me seen La La Land?
I was watching football, too.
Yeah, it was okay. I didn't think it was super great. And we talked about it on the show. The unfortunate part, although I like Emma Thompson and I like
Emma Stone
and Emma Thompson. I like them both.
All the Emmas.
And I like what's his name.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling, not Ryan Seacrest or Ryan, the other one that looks just like him. That was also up for Ryan Reynolds, yeah. But they're not singers and dancers. And so the choreography and the singing had to be dumbed down to match them. They were charming, and I really enjoyed them. Whether it deserved all those awards, I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I figured that, though, from what you had told me before when it won all that. I'm like, I bet Jaleesa's going to be like, well, yeah, but...
Mm. Fences, though.
Should we call it Hidden Fences?
Hidden Fences. You know what? So what she's alluding to is several people. One on the lower thirds, I think, in the telecast and on the red carpet, they...
It's on the teleprompter. I mean, on the credit, yeah, on the screen.
They
worse than the red carpet,
right?
Man.
But they're calling it sort of a, because the two shows that had black people in it, mm-hmm, that's why they got them mixed up. And I'm not 100% sure about that, because Hidden Fences and what's it really called? Hidden Figures and Fences.
But they were calling both each one like Hidden Fences.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was very
Trip to Bountiful Pippin. But anyway, Fences, why am I losing names today? What's her name?
Octavia gets nominated. It says Hidden Fences underneath
her name.
Viola Davis.
Yeah. Is just amazing. She was did anybody else see Fences? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's just amazing all the time.
She blew me away in that. It's like, you know, everybody else did a good job. She was like phenomenal, in my opinion. Yeah.
If Nick was here, he'd join in and agree with you.
And her acceptance speech was lovely. Her introduction
to Meryl Streep was so good.
Wasn't it amazing?
It was so good.
I was agog. Yeah. And then Meryl Streep came up. And of course, depending on where you sit politically, you either loved it or you didn't. But I loved it.
I
should say that the opinions and views expressed on this show are not that of co-op the board of directors or its staff, but only ours and my personal opinion. So what'd y'all think of Meryl?
I loved her and Tracee Ellis Ross. I thought both their speeches were amazing. Because I went back and watched them.
Yeah.
But yeah. I didn't think it was that controversial. Just don't bully people. Use your positions of power to be nice.
The controversy was she called out our upcoming president pretty closely.
Yeah.
Which is true. But anyway, I enjoyed the Golden Globes. And did anybody happen to see last night NPH on James Corden's show?
No.
They did a Broadway riff off. So they're so funny.
I was like, that's got to be good.
Neil Patrick Harris just shows up and they play this really great game, and they're doing a really good job of acting with one another. They're having so much fun. And then they did a ripoff with the Philharmonic.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. That's a good time.
Yeah. And so it was really fun. That is available on the YouTubes, I'm sure.
I will find it. We can post it.
So the other thing that I just saw today, we talked about Broadway HD, and Holiday Inn is on the 14th of January. They're streaming that performance Saturday night. Very much like they did with...
She Loves Me.
Except this time you can't see it unless you have subscribed to the service.
So you can't purchase the one-off like you could for the other. Interesting.
Yeah, so it looks like I won't be seeing it, and I really wanted to.
Yeah, well, you know what? They have put the last few ones that they did, like She Loves Me, they did put them into the theaters afterwards. So.
Right, it'll find. But there's something. It was something really special about watching it live. I mean, I watched She Loves Me live, and it was exciting.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I'm trying to. I was trying to give you a glass half full.
There's no silver lining to this cloud.
it's dark, bleak,
and ugly, and so, it's about time that you understood that.
You know what? I'm going to call the cast and just ask them if they could come do it for you down here.
You know,
in person.
Would you?
I'll get on it.
Broadway Con, second annual Broadway Con, starts in, I think, next week.
I believe you are correct.
Broadway Con last year. So this is a fan. You know, there's the Comic Con, blah blah blah. So the fan thing for Broadway. They had the first one last year
in the blizzard,
and it still went on
crazy.
And they were, I think, at the Marriott Marquis. They were at a hotel. This year, They're at the Javits.
Oh, it's huge.
And it's already sold out. Yeah. Second year.
It's they I want to say they almost quadrupled everything that they were doing from last year to this year, and they had no anticipation of growing that quick.
And then when the blizzard came up,
well, when the blizzard came up, they really thought like, oh my gosh, because a lot of people fly in for this.
Yeah, but everybody was already there.
Everybody was there. There's what the cool thing about New York in January is there's a lot of arts conferences going on. Like right now, there's the one for all the different presenters across organizations is happening right now in New York. So a lot of these arts people are just hanging out through January.
Yeah.
A lot of demand for inside events as well.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
So there you go.
I think it's awesome sauce.
It is awesome sauce.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And you'll be happy to know there's going to be an Annie reunion there starring with one Andrea McArdle.
You know why? Because the sun will come out tomorrow.
Actually, no. Tomorrow it's not.
It will.
No, not tomorrow.
It will.
I guess you're in Alaska.
I am excited. I love Annie. I don't love Andrea McArdle like Hugh Jackman.
But still, an Annie reunion.
Oh my God, that is so cool.
That's much better. Hello Dolly tickets go on sale on the 12th today. Here's an interesting thing that they're doing. But so they've
added tickets been on sale because I know people who bought tickets already.
Oh, maybe it's for these two. I'm sorry, it's for these two extra matinees. They just added two matinees.
Yeah,
and they're going on sale on the
12th. Prices.
But here's the interesting. Interesting thing. You can only get them at the box office. Like you physically have to be at the box office.
Oh, well, you know what? If there's only two and you're doing that, why would... That kind of makes sense.
Well, it's sort of...
It's a nightmare for the box office.
Well,
but
it's also unfortunate for, like, say, you or here. I, if we wanted to go, hey, I'm going to make a trip to New York to go see it that
Well, that's
weekend.
When you call those concierge services or your friend and you're like, get your little hiney down there and get in line for me, please.
Because you're rich and you can do it. So we had our very first Broadway opening of 2000.
Well, you'd have to be rich to get a ticket in the first place. So...
That's true.
Let's get a grip.
And we had our very first opening on Broadway. For the year. Season.
Right.
But for the year. And it was The Present, which is the Chekhov show that we talked about.
They're
before.
Making Chekhov funny.
Yeah, except not this time.
That's
did
what
you
they're
read,
trying.
Did
no,
you read
but
the reviews?
Remember we were reading the headlines last week laughing, going, how do you make Chekhov funny?
Well, because, you know, he thought he was writing comedies, as we talked about last
I
week.
I know what he thought, but we've been watching it for years, and I just want to know where that...
So this
is Kate in it.
This is coming from Australia. This is Kate Winslet. Why do I keep every
I don't know.
Person,
you just got a first name and you're doing something else, but
and
Kate Winslet rocks too though.
She does. Kate Blanchett got great. They loved her.
Mm. She's kind of awesome.
They loved her.
So I could see her being awesome even in a piece
isn't. And her co-star Richard Roxburgh They said they valiantly tried to save the show, but it's not looking good for the show.
Wow.
They
tried. Isn't that the point?
They do try.
All we can do is try.
Yeah. So he calls this production Moribund from the beginning. And by the way, I had to look up moribund because that's one of those words that I think I know what it means.
Could you spell it?
But I had to look it up.
Would you spell it, please?
Moribund. Anybody want to take a guess at what the actual meaning is?
Yeah. Ponderous? I don't know. I've heard it before,
opposite.
But like...
It's near death.
It's got to something with morbid and
I thought it meant boring and blasé, but it's a little bit heavier to do to that. So this is... this was the version. There's been several versions of this show. He wrote this. This is like the first show he wrote and didn't get published till after his death. And the last one, when we talked about it before, the last version, which was adapted by David Hare, was called Platonov. And that was in the mid-90s.
That was a while ago.
Oh, and that wasn't in the mid-90s. I don't know when it was. But this production, the set, is in the 90s, as opposed to the other one that was set in Chekhov's day, which was like the 80s.
The 90s is an interesting era to choose.
Yeah. So they said goodbye to Balabushkas and hello to punk rock, basically.
I wouldn't say punk rock was the 90s, but okay.
Well, that's what they said.
Yeah, well,
and
they're
it may
wrong.
Have not been punk rock. I'm going by my memory, so don't blame me, not him. He said that the set was rendered with all the personality of an IKEA showroom.
Oh,
my.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, gosh,
good.
That hurts. So that, woo.
And then, so the final paragraph, just to sort
Wouldn't
of sum it
all up.
Wouldn't
it be awful if he bought like half the set pieces actually at IKEA and he was like,
well, there's
they
nothing,
were.
You know, some people like IKEA.
No, there's nothing
they
wrong with it, but I
that.
Mean, it's not building a set. It's, yeah. But I'm just saying, wouldn't that kind of be funny? I own stuff from IKEA. I'm not knocking IKEA.
Don't knock IKEA.
Nope.
I have my
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what mine is called, but that's funny.
So the Helen Hayes is going through renovations. Helen
A little
Hayes
facelift.
You know, the theater was called the Little Theater when it first opened. And it was built in 1912. And it's a little theater. It's only got 600 seats.
I was
seats.
Like, it's because it's wee, but that's kind of funny. They really actually called it the Little Theater.
It's got 600 seats. It had 299 when it first opened. And they built a balcony.
Oh, yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah, like double.
Yeah, more.
Slightly more. But this to refresh everybody's memory, this is the theater that bought by Second Stage. It's a nonprofit off-Broadway theater theater company. And they are now bringing shows to Broadway, the Helen Hayes, or they're going to in 2018. It's been a long slog for them. They announced the purchase, I think, in 2002. There was a legal, they had litigation, they had all sorts of stuff.
That went on for...
But their theater company does work by living writers. That's their mission.
Yeah, they really are like the little engine that could. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And the architect for it is Tony Award winner. Oh God, David Rockwell. And he, to refresh your memory, he's the set designer from She Loves Me. Which, that was a lovely set.
Yeah, it's just a lovely show.
It's a lovely show.
Had a lovely cast. It was just lovely just all lovely. The way around. It's always lovely. But yeah, that was a
but
really
like... But I
like
that they're using a scenic designer, a real theater person
really
as an
pretty.
Architect.
It was a rich set. Yeah. Yes.
They announced the purchase in 2008, not 2002. Guess how much they're budgeted to spend on this renovation? Anybody?
I mean, I'm just going to give you a crazy number. Why not? $10 million?
That's crazy. It's $64
million.
No! They've raised 75% of it already. So
get out! Good. Yeah. Well, those people can call me. I know of some theaters in need down here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else?
Holy moly, that's a lot.
Yeah. We are running out of time, so let's pick and choose what we're going to talk about. Falsettos and Color Purple closed.
Mm. Yeah.
Clinton was at the final.
Woo, did she get an ovation?
She got a nice ovation.
Like, for a while.
Oh, Debbie Reynolds.
Okay,
Cara
I watched
Fisher.
This last night so that we could.
Yeah,
I saw
did anybody watch the documentary?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh my God, tears.
I stayed up late. I have to tell you, what a special, like, I mean, you always, everybody was like, God, what a loss. But when you really watched that, you just went, whoa.
Yeah, and they had a great
relationship.
It fraught, but great.
You know what? And I think had the cards even have turned the other way and Debbie had passed before Carrie, I think we would have still had the same outcome. I don't think
Maybe.
Those two really could have been separated.
Maybe. And then adding their brother
her
into the
frail
mix. What's his name?
Todd.
I mean, I just loved the whole thing. And there were points where I was moved to tears.
I was really, really, yeah. Wow. What a special. And I want to know, how much more footage do they have? Because they were showing footage of Carrie and Eddie Fisher from a while ago where she's interviewing him. He died years ago.
Right. And when
so
they,
I'm
when
like,
that
how
interview,
much footage do they
there
really
was a point
have?
Where she interviewed Eddie Fisher. Now, their relationship was not good.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Fisher's relationship with all three of them
was not good. She was just looking for validation from her dad.
But it
in
was
that
very,
moment,
very sweet when she interviewed him. He was barely... he was not ambulatory. He was barely able to speak.
It was 3 months before he had passed away, they said, I think.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful piece. It is. You can see it on HBO, and I'm sure you can do it by on demand because it's worth seeing.
Yeah, and I didn't realize Fisher Stevens was one of the directors, and that made me really excited because who doesn't love Short Circuit?
It was... At least one person on this side of the table.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mind Short Circuit.
You never saw that movie?
I saw it.
Oh.
When it came out.
Yeah.
In the, what, 70s,
it's still
whatever.
Good.
But 80s, it was just a wonderful, wonderful documentary. I had to, of course, because I think I've mentioned it on the show before, Please Don't Kill Me. I had never seen Postcards from the Edge. So I watched that immediately after I watched the documentary.
How awesome are Meryl and Shirley? Crazy.
Yeah, a little crazy. Shirley's... she was a little heavy in the blush department.
Well, again, it was the time.
Saying. But there was a very moving part of that when she fell and they came to and Meryl Streep came to visit her in the hospital. She was always wearing a wig. She was very, very thin hair and no makeup. And you saw her. I thought that was really one of the sweeter parts of the film. It was good. Mm-hmm. I liked it. Okay. We've got to do this quiz. We're going to...
My heart just melted again thinking about that. That really was a beautiful, beautiful documentary.
It really, really was. Mm-hmm. Let's... I did not read this article. Curtain Falls on Arts Critics, Newspapers Everywhere. That was from you. Tell us about that.
So there was a big article nationally. I mean, we know we lost Jean Claire Van Ryzin here in Austin. We're not the only city. This is happening all throughout the United States. And someone wrote a really great piece, and we can post it online, that Arts Critics, this is happening all over the United States. And what does that mean? And it's interesting because it's even including from what I was reading, and I have to pull up the article again. It seems like it wasn't just fine arts. They actually mentioned a lot of music and stuff in it, which you know, I don't think is our problem here in Austin, but definitely with dance and classical and fine music and fine arts and arts in general and theater. We're in trouble. Yep. But it's not just us. It's the whole boat. So to see someone nationally talking about it, I hope it
what
really caught...
What paper was it in?
Has more conversations.
You don't have to look it up. Do you remember which paper?
No, I don't. It wasn't something that normally I would find, and it came across one of my clippings.
It will be on our site, offstageonair.com, and you can click on it. And I will definitely click on it when I go home and post all this stuff. So there's a little bit of Hamilton news that we'll just go through here. Wayne Brady is going to play Burr in the Chicago Company, which at first I was like, but the more I think about it, I bet he's going to be good.
Yeah. Wayne takes everything he does. I mean, it's funny to say this in a sentence, but Wayne takes everything he does seriously, which doesn't sound right.
But he's
Wayne,
never done such a serious role. But I think he'll do good.
He's a focused man. Yeah, I think he'll do good.
I'm for it. And did you see that Cameron Taron Killam is going to step into King George?
Yes.
Taron Killam was SNL, and he was unceremoniously not asked back this season.
Correct.
So he was made redundant, as we say in England.
made redundant.
But the article, and you can see a link to it in offstageonair.com, they have a little interview with him. And they do talk about his, and I forgot the character's name, his critic that he played on Saturday Night Live, that pompous critic from back in the same time. And the question was, did that help you get the role? Because it's very King George.
It is very King George. I don't know, but we have an Austin alumni now in the show. Jay Quinton is now, he was in All the Way, and he's done a lot of stuff at Zach, UT grad. He started in Hamilton this week.
In New York?
In New York. Oh, awesome. He joined the cast. Houston alumni joined the cast. There was 5 new cast members, and I just think that says a lot about Austin.
Does.
Yeah!
And then you sent this in. Cameron McIntosh unveiled scheme to tackle Hamilton tour tickets.
Yeah, I read that was in the Stage over in the England paper. He is he's on a rampage, and now when you get your Hamilton tickets and you purchase tickets, you physically will not get your ticket. You have to go to the box office to get your ticket. But I'm like, man, he was trying in New York, and now he's moved his little party over to England, and he's trying a new way. So he's trying to stop all these third-party resellers buying everything.
All right. Well, I'm gonna switch gears. I'm gonna go back to the quiz. We're gonna have a quiz.
We're gonna
ready
again
for a quiz. Well, this is a little different. So
I was like, it looks different.
Does anybody listen to Wait, Don't Tell Me?
Yes.
Okay. So this came actually from them. They had I forgot the actor's name. He was the bald guy in Lost.
Oh, John Locke.
What is his
name?
His quiz was. We're going to talk, since he's bald, this like we're going to ask him questions about hair. So these are all questions about the Broadway musical Hair. So y'all ready for the first one?
Okay.
Here we go.
Hair, the musical, began as an experimental theater project performed by its two writers, James Rado and Jerome Ragney. But it changed a lot before it became a big Broadway hit. What changed from its earliest version? A, instead of being a show about hippies living in New York, it was about a group of sassy hairdressers. B, the lead character, Claude, was originally a space alien who wanted to be a movie director. Or C, it was originally set at the time of the American Revolution, and the lead character was Alexander Hamilton, who, of course, had long hair.
Oops, I guess I got to turn my microphones on. What do y'all think? What was it?
A, I'm going B, or with C? A.
Please tell me it's A.
You're going with A? A?
I'm doing a wild card. I'm doing B.
B?
Yeah,
I'm
going
to do B as well.
Okay, B is the is alien? The alien, which is what it was.
Oh, that's yes. funny.
Claude was an alien. Okay, let's hear another one.
Also changed for Broadway, they added an infamous scene with full male nudity right before intermission. It garnered some interesting reactions from notable people, including which of these? A, comedian Jack Benny, who at intermission asked, "Did you happen to notice if any of them were Jewish?" B, President Richard Nixon, who saw the show and said, "It made me wish their hair was a lot longer." Or C, Liza Minnelli, who said, "I walked out when they put their clothes back on."
Okay, A, B, or C?
I'm just going with Nixon, because that's
Nixon,
just what I
Nixon, Benny,
wanted.
Or Minnelli?
Minnelli.
Minnelli?
Nixon. I'm going A.
Minnelli, A.
Nixon.
All of you were wrong. Oh, no, you were right. A.
A.
Jack Benny. Jack Benny. Fine. Okay.
That just seemed like a typical Jack. Too easy. Like it's a typical Jack Benny.
That was.
They
it was
were all great.
Were. Okay, here's the last one.
Hair was, of course, a huge hit. It's been revived many times, but it was apparently the last hit for creator Galt McDermott. His failed follow-up project was which of these? A, Balding, a show about the same characters 20 years later. B, Via Galactica, a science fiction-themed musical about an extraterrestrial garbage man. Or C, Fiddler on the Roof 2, Tevye's Revenge.
Well, we got to go okay. Space aliens go. After yeah.
Space
aliens.
Space aliens. Okay. Yeah, you're good. Actually, we talked about this on the show last week or the week before because my friend Mark Baltazar was a stage manager on this project, and it was indeed Via Galactica. The stage aliens. Good. Yeah. That's our first Wait, Don't Tell Me quiz. So we're going to take a little break and come back, and we are going to talk to Austin Playhouse about their show, whatever it's called.
Bloomsday.
Bloomsday. I keep wanting to call it something else, but I'm going to call
Bloomberg.
It that. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin. I'm Lisa Sheps. I'm joined by Nicole Shiro. Okay, that's what it is. My headphones are down. I couldn't hear myself.
Oh, so you hit the wrong dial.
I was going, why is my microphone not working? we have been talking to Hannah Lane Farrell, Shannon Embry, and Claire Grasso, and Aaron Johnson. And now we're going to switch and talk to Aaron and Claire about their show. But before we do, I asked Hannah to choose a number between 2 and 54, and what did you say?
Shannon
chose 17.
Did I say Sharon again?
You just said Hannon. Hannah.
Hannah. Oh,
that's
God.
All right.
Sorry.
I was all like, what?
I'm just looking at the paper.
All right, Shannon, all right. What'd you pick?
17.
Let's see what
oh,
it
I
is.
I don't think we've had 17 in a while.
Hello, I'm Leroy Reams, and you are listening to Offstage and on the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM.
That Leroy little 42nd Street.
We're not
going
to be able to
man.
Use those anymore pretty soon when we go to HD. Co-op is going to HD, and our legal IDs are going to change. We're still going to use these. They'll still be good.
I was like...
But the legal IDs will change. The ones at the top of the hour will be pre-recorded because they change depending on what time of day we're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Well, so we just need to call Ben Vereen and everyone and say, make some new ones.
There you go. We'll call Ben. So we have Steve Dietz's show, Bloomsday. It's mm-hmm. going to be playing at Austin Playhouse. And from that show, we have Claire Grasso and Aaron Johnson. Mm-hmm. So what is this show, time travel-y funness going on here?
Bloomsday, Stephen describes it so eloquently. It's his take on the phrase, you can go back to a place, but not a time. And it's this man.
He's wrong.
It's this so man wrong. Named Robert, who's an American college professor, who 35 years ago was in Dublin, Ireland, and spent a day with a girl that he found unforgettable.
His, was it me?
It could have been.
Oh, okay. Good answer.
Are you Irish?
Aye, lassie, I am.
And since then, his life happened and it's unraveled. And 35 years later, he's trying to go back and find that girl. But what happens instead is he walks back into the time and sees her the day he met her at age 20. And then.
And he's still an old guy.
Yes, sir.
He's still.
Yes, sir, he is.
Good. But he meets up with himself, doesn't he?
And the younger self is there as well as the older Kathleen.
And I'm guessing that we are looking at the younger selves here in the studio.
That would
yes.
be right.
Okay, so what are your characters' names?
I'm Robbie, who grows up to be Robert.
I'm Kathleen, who ends up being Kate.
Kate, yep. like William Shakespeare's Kate.
Yeah.
Oh, very good reference.
Thank you. Very good. So it looks like a lot of fun.
It is.
Stephen Dietz is a lot of fun. I like his wacky littleness.
His worlds are pretty fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the second professional production in the country, so been great having him involved, but also to some extent he says the second production's the hardest to get because that tests the play. That's where you watch the play survive without the playwright. So it's been great having his support in the theater, but at the same time he's also trying to watch the play happen on its own.
Where was the first?
It was in Seattle.
Seattle. Well, that's awesome. So how involved has he been?
He's been to a few rehearsals, and then he's been so lovely making himself available to us
as a resource.
Questions,
yeah.
And yeah. Yeah, just.
And who's directing this puppy?
Don Toner,
the executive artistic.
In a long time.
He's actually never physically been here, I don't think.
We had to go to him?
I went to him the very first year of Offstage and On the Air, and that's where I got that legal ID. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
Hard to get a hold of.
So would we call this a comedy?
We would call it a comedy set in Dublin. So that adds the brooding feeling of it's just a gray day.
So as Robert also, is he American, did you say? You say this and I wasn't paying attention?
Yeah, he's from Seattle, where Steven's from.
Okay, I've heard of Seattle. It's gray there. And y'all have a little scene, don't you?
We do, yeah.
So how would you like to set that up?
So this is, Kathleen is giving her Bloomsday tour in Dublin, and she asks Robbie to join her so that her group can be 14 people. 13 is her unlucky number. And as they've gone through this tour, all these people who have been on the tour have drifted away, and she's upset. And now he is the last person who remains of this tour, and they are entering Sweeney's chemist shop.
Does she know who he is at this point in the play?
She's been warned by older Robbie.
Robert,
that
yeah,
she's
there's some time shiftiness going.
Oh, okay, some time shiftiness.
But
okay.
She doesn't know what he means to her yet.
Okay, wonderful. Well, this is Claire Grasso and Aaron Johnson doing a scene from Austin Playhouse's production of Bloomsday.
I've never had a day like this. People just leaving. I don't do well with people leaving.
I thought that you did great.
Yeah, well, I think that's the end of our tour. Thank you for being my 14. I'll point you back the way we came. It's not far.
We don't have to stop. I don't have anything else to do.
Well, thank you so much. That makes me feel very special.
What happened here in the book?
Oh, now you're having me on.
I'm not.
Acting like you want to know these things just to make me feel better.
I want to know what happened in this shop.
Soap. Lemon soap.
And?
And that's what happened here. Hmm. This is Sweeney's chemist shop. In the book, Leopold Bloom buys a bar of lemon soap from this shop. This is when I have everyone pick up the soap and smell it.
Lemon.
Tis. You're American? Mm. From where? I'd like to go. Anywhere in America.
Seattle, Washington. Well, outside Seattle, Renton.
Is it nice there?
It's okay.
Sounds like it would be beautiful. Like all those movies about America. Lovely Renton, Washington, there on the ocean with the dolphins and the whales and the sunsets. Is it like that?
Renton is not like that. But we have a little house, kind of beat up. No yard, really. Not a great part of town. But sometimes, it can be kind of nice. Not nice like a postcard, just like a day.
What kind of day?
I don't know.
Tell me about a nice American kind of day.
Just a day. You get a coffee. Shoot some hoops with your friends. Wash your dad's car when the sun's out and the radio's on. I think most places, even Renton, can be pretty great on days like that.
And you'll stay there forever?
Forever. God, who can think like that?
I can think like that. That's exactly how I think. Is there a big wide road you can walk down?
Yeah, I guess, but you'd probably drive.
You know someone with a car?
Well, yeah, I mean, I have a car.
You have a car? A car of your own?
Just an old beater.
Oh, but that would be the greatest thing, driving in a car of your very own.
I guess it's pretty cool.
Where would you take me? In beautiful Renton, Washington, where would we go?
Well, it depends. What do you like to do?
How would I know that?
Well...
And that's...
Oh! I was enthralled.
Yeah.
That
was good.
I wanted more. I love that. That's all sorts of fun.
It's been fun to work on.
That's all sorts of fun. And Renton, isn't Renton where there's some corporation out of Renton? I can't remember which one. One of the big ones.
Guess I didn't do my homework.
Now, your counterpart is played by Huck Huckabee.
Yes.
Staple here in this town.
Yes.
And I was thinking about that as y'all were doing it because the radio audience can't see, but there's some differentiation in your height here.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought you're a rather tall man. I would say that I would think that the casting-wise, they would have to... Keep that in mind. I didn't really think about that. It's like, I think I have to have another tall person Depending on who they wanted first.
Yeah. It's great. It's
about the same height as Huck.
Eye to eye.
Who else is in the show?
Cindy Williams plays my 35-year-older counterpart.
We love Cindy
Which
Williams.
Which is what's amazing about that is Cindy and Huck have known each other since high school. So they're doing this play looking at the younger selves. And they can see each other.
It makes me want to go see it right now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But we can't see it right now, can we?
No, because it opens on Friday.
It opens on Friday. So what is it that's special about this show for an Austin audience? Why do we want to come see it?
Okay, a couple things. One, it's a Stephen Dietz play. We don't get to bring a lot of his plays to Austin.
Lisa, what are you, stupid? It's Stephen Dietz.
To be able to bring some of his newer plays back is such a gift, and to know he's a part of this theater community is wonderful. I also think this play treads the line so well of intimacy that, you know, we see the nuance of film happening so much. He makes a very cinematic approach, but at the same time, it has to be told on a stage. Mm-hmm. There's no other way you could do it. So he's really playing with balancing that line.
That rocks. So I will also say that on the website, austintheater.com, austinplayhouse.com, is a video of an interview with Stephen Dietz with intercuts from your show, I believe. I'm assuming
it's your
show.
It is.
It's really nice, and I think gives you a really good feel. Made me want to go see it.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Directed, as you said, by Don Toner. And you open on the 12th?
13th.
This Friday.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Are you scared?
And it's my unlucky number, so.
Oh, dearie me.
You should just make it the 14th in your head. Okay. Just like the people.
And how long do y'all play?
For 4 weeks.
4 weeks through February 5th.
February 5th. Great. Yeah. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
If you would like more information, you can go to austinplayhouse.com.
Well, we were so happy to have you guys on the
show.
Yeah,
it was fun.
We're delighted to be here. Thank you so much for having us.
I hope you can stick around. We may have a very short backstage. I've got a boot scoot. I may not have time to go backstage, but hopefully you could join us backstage after the show.
Absolutely.
Cool. So don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. That was Claire Grasso and Aaron Johnson of Austin Playhouse production of Stephen Dietz's Bloomsday. Opens January 13th, plays through February 5th at Austin Playhouse. For more information, austinplayhouse.com. We'll be right back. When we meet again. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin. That was fun. I can't wait to see it.
Me neither. That was a charming little piece.
One of the things that Aaron was talking about that made me think about this, and I should have mentioned it before. I was one of the podcasts I listened to is Movie Reviews, and they were reviewing Fences. And one of the things they didn't like about the film was the fact that the director, one Denzel Washington, kept the camera mostly static, as if you would see, kept it like as if you were watching a play. Versus doing all the crap that movies do, and they took that as a bad thing. And
you and Nick were talking about how great it was because you realized how wonderful the text was.
Right,
it was because you were like, "Will it work as a movie?" And then you realized it totally did.
That was really interesting. They were slamming it. I was going, "You were out of your mind." That's what made it.
They probably have never been to the theater.
Well, I want to talk about one thing locally. Justin Sherburn emailed. He always does some fun stuff.
What's he doing now?
Justin Sherburn is a musician, and he's part of Montopolis is the name of the group, and he's doing a show called The Time Machine. It's a science fiction-themed multimedia performance.
There's a lot of science fiction going on today. I just want to let you know there's a theme here.
So there's lots of music. There is.
Yes.
Lots of music, lots of imagery, lots of stuff going on. So check that out for more information. I think you can probably go to Montopolis.com. Where is it? Oh, no. TimeMachineAustin.com.
Oh, I love that they have the TimeMachineAustin.com website. Both Sherburns do good stuff there.
Yes, Jennifer Sherburn and Justin.
Yeah.
Justin and Jennifer.
The dynamic
and the other piece
duo.
Of local news, which actually affects two of the people here in the studio today, and I almost thought about not talking about it because it's not terribly pleasant, in my opinion, but Biden Payne Committee just announced that City Theater will not be eligible for Biden Payne Awards this year.
Why?
Because of their new policies around... they sent them out like last year about if actors have complaints about venues, they'll do that. And so there's been complaints about some of the safety issues and some of the other issues around City Theater. And they hopefully they'll change their mind. It made me very sad to read it.
That makes
did y'all,
me sad.
Did y'all know about this?
Actually, I didn't.
Yeah, I was afraid that I was going to be saying something that you guys didn't know.
That's kind of a bummer.
But I'm hoping that changes. Because of the whole venue thing here in town, it's like City Theater is one of the ones that's hung in there and has been here.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be penalizing people for trying to do their best. You know, there's a lot of things around that. But so I'm mixed about it in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
I don't like the punitive nature of it. You know,
it's been, you know, they wouldn't let Jason William Wolverine walk into a bar be an original piece because they said, oh, it was performed elsewhere. And I was like, no, it was workshopped in one spot before. And the content of that show is completely different than the content of this show. This is a new show and they wouldn't consider it.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not the same. It's not a touring show. It was workshopped. It's a tour. It's like, no, it's not a tour.
With you. Well, a lot of us have a love-hate relationship with the Biden Payne Committee and the award. So I just thought that was an interesting piece of news.
I just find it kind of
weird. I just got that in my email like right before I got here. So I apologize for sort of springing that on you guys. And hopefully it'll be fixed before any votes
I like to call that a bummer.
I would as well. So I'm just going to do an abbreviated Today in Theater History and start later in the century. Start in 1976. I don't know what that was. Pacific Overtures opened tonight in 76 at the Winter Garden. And that was directed by Harold Prince.
I was about to say, was Prince, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Some good music in that.
And then in 1979, Jerry Herman's flop, The Grand Tour.
Oh!
It ran 61 performances at the Palace Theater. It was based on the play Jacobowski and the Colonel.
Well, that great
Anybody
hit.
Know that one?
It's a great hit.
Favorite.
It's my favorite scene. let's see. Okay, in 2000, the Belasco Theater had the transfer of the off-Broadway show James Joyce... The Dead.
Uplifting.
It has a book by Richard Nelson, who we talked about last week on this show. Music by Sean David. Lyrics by Sean David and Richard Nelson. In the cast, and this is why I'm doing it, because I know you'll love this, Christopher Walken, Blair Brown, somebody named Emily Skinner.
Yeah,
another person named Alice Ripley.
I was about to say, I knew where you were going with this one. And those Steven lovely Spinella. Ladies of Sideshow.
Today's birthday, Mary Rogers, 1931.
Oh, that's a good birthday.
Max von Essen, 1974. Oh. Locally, we have a lot of local birthdays.
Yeah, because people want to be... Yeah.
Mr. Rudy Ramirez.
Oh, Rudy.
Bon aniversaire, whatever you
say. Bon aniversaire.
I cannot pronounce his last name. Sam Kojahako, the sound designer. Kevin Farr and Jenny Underwood.
Kevin.
Jenny.
Tomorrow, somebody named Patty Neftivin.
Patty.
And Ryan Smith. So shout out to all those people.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Bon anniversaire.
Bon anniversaire. And I stopped at tomorrow because there were more 3 days. So snickerdy-dee.
Yeah, January has some great ones.
Let's go to break and so we can come back and talk to City Theater.
Let's.
Okay, bye.
Sing. A song of mazel
tov. And we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP with Nicole Shiro and Lisa Sheps. We've been talking to Claire Grasso and Aaron Johnson, and now we are going to talk to some other ladies. Hannah Lane Farrell and Shannon Embry, who I like to call Sharon. Oh, you know what? And I'm going to turn your microphones on. I'm not on top
Voila.
Of
that. Voila. Yes, you Voila. Are.
So you guys are doing Beth Henley's Crimes of the Heart.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
That is exciting. I've never seen it, and I'm so looking forward to
really?
Seeing this show.
Really?
Wow.
I know.
Oh, it's a
so
fun...
For
it's,
people
yeah,
like me
so much
who have never seen it or nor read it, what's it about?
Well, it takes place in 1974 in Hazelhurst, Mississippi, a few years after Hurricane Camille, which... I understand was quite an important hurricane back then.
Mm-hmm.
It is a family that lost their mother to suicide many years ago when these three girls, who the center stories around, were in childhood and adolescence. And they've not seen each other for a few years. One, the youngest daughter, Babe, played by my
That would be me.
Yep, that's here. She has just shot her husband, and they are dealing with it as a family, bringing home the middle sister, Meg, from California with a failed singing
career.
But he's
still alive. He's still alive.
Okay, yeah. So you shot him, you didn't kill
important
him.
Important detail. He's still alive.
That is an important detail.
Yeah. You got lucky on that one, babe.
Yeah.
And then the older sister, Lenny, who has stayed close to home and really lives a pretty fear-based life. So, it's very heartwarming with a lot of comedy and really a great classic script that's been done time and time again since the, late 70s, early 80s.
When I remember when it opened in New York back in the day because we're that old.
Back in the day.
It's a great show just because it has so many different, ups and downs. I mean, there's so many funny moments, and there's also these very serious, sad, pieces to it. So it's just very complex and rich. It's
relatable. It doesn't matter what time it is. You watched it 20 years ago, you see it now, you see it. You're always, I like that about this piece.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's been done here. I don't remember it being done here.
It has.
Very often.
But no, not often. I want to say, I think it was been 6 or 7 years since.
I know City Theater did it once, but it was, that may have been 10 years ago. I mean, it's been a very long time.
So City Theater's reprising this from their, because this is their 10 years old, so that would have been their first season.
Right.
Yeah, I think our director actually acted in the other production of it.
And who is the director?
He's fantastic. His name's Rod Meacham, so he's a guest director for this show. And the City Theater experience has been great. We've really enjoyed it.
Where's he from?
Is he in Austin?
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. He's from Austin,
He's new to me.
I don't know him either. I know. Yeah.
What the heck? I thought we knew everybody, Nicole.
What's wrong with that? How come Rod doesn't know us?
Exactly.
Let's turn it around.
Touring company for a long time, so I'm not sure how much.
Yeah, touring acting company. He's done a fair amount of acting.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. Lovely. So what is, again, I'll ask you the same question. I said, what's going to drive an Austin audience to come see this? How is this special for Austin, Texas?
Well, as a patron of the theater in Austin, I'm always on the lookout for great classic scripts, especially heartwarming scripts where you know you're going to go and you're going to have a good time and you're going to laugh and you're going to be touched. And there's so many wonderful moments in this particular show. And, it's a script that's been tried and true. If you've never seen it, then you're in for a real treat.
Yeah, that's why I'm looking forward to
seeing
it.
And I think it's particularly fun for, a Southern audience because, frankly, I just moved here from Boston a couple of months ago. And
I call it Beantown.
Yeah, Beantown. Good old Bean. But a lot of people there haven't heard of it, for example. And so
haven't heard of Crimes of the Heart?
I know.
That makes no sense.
That makes no sense. Because I'm an East Coast girl and we know it in New York and New Jersey. So
but people outside of it. Yeah. It was really
that's a problem.
Yeah. But I think there's a lot of, good classic Southern humor. There's some stuff that, you can only appreciate to a certain level if you're Southern, but then you'll also appreciate it if you're not. It's just fun.
Awesome. And you guys are going to do a scene, correct?
We are indeed.
set that scene up for us, please.
All right. Well, Meg has just returned home, and she and Babe are sitting in the kitchen together. Their sister, Lenny, has just run out to take care of some stuff, and we're having a discussion basically about how Lenny is more like the shy, demure sister, and we're kind of talking about sort of what needs to, I guess, change in her life.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Shannon Embry, Hannah Lane Farrell doing a scene from City Theater's production of Beth Henley's Crimes of the Heart.
Boy, I do not know what is happening to Lenny.
What do you mean?
Don't make a mess. Don't make yourself sick. Don't cut yourself with that sharp knife. She's turning into old grandmama.
You think so?
Oh, more and more. Do you know she's even taken to wearing grandma's old torn sun hat and her lime green garden gloves?
Those old lime green ones?
Yeah. She works out in the garden wearing the lime green gloves of a dead woman. I mean, can you imagine putting those gloves on your hands?
Poor Lenny. She needs some love in her life. All she does is work out in that brickyard and take care of old granddaddy.
Yeah, but she's so shy with men.
Probably because of her shrunken ovary.
Yeah, that deformed ovary.
Old granddaddy's the one that makes her feel so self-conscious about it. It's his fault, the old fool.
So sad.
You know what?
What?
I bet Lenny's never even slept with a man. Can you imagine? 30 years old and never even had it once.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe she's had it once.
She has.
Maybe. I think so.
When?
Well, I don't know. I probably shouldn't say.
Babe!
All right. It was right after the second time the old granddaddy went to the hospital. Well, Lenny, she was in a real deep state of depression. I mean, I could tell that she was. And one day she asked me to come over and to bring my Polaroid camera. So I get over here and she's waiting out on the sun porch wearing her powder blue Sunday dress and this old curled up wig. She confided that she wanted to try sending in her photos to one of those Lonely Hearts Club.
Oh my God.
I know, Lonely Hearts of the South. She saw an ad for him in a magazine.
Ooh.
So I take some snapshots and she sends them in, and about 2 weeks later, she gets this big envelope in the mail full of pictures of all types of available men. I mean, most of them were fairly odd looking, but Lenny, she didn't call a single one on account of the fact that she's just so shy with men. Well, except this one, this Charlie Hill. He calls her.
He does.
Yeah. And they get to talking, and she says he's real funny on the phone and that they've decided they want to meet.
Yeah?
Yeah, so he comes down to Hazelhurst about 3 or 4 times and takes her to dinner. And then one weekend, she goes up to Memphis to see him. And I think that's what happened.
What makes you think so?
Well, when I went to pick her up at the bus depot, she came running off the bus and she threw her arms around me and then just started crying and sobbing as though she'd like to never stop. And I said, Lenny, what is wrong? What's the matter? And that's when she said, honey, I've done it. Babe, I've finally done it.
And you think that she meant that she had done it?
I think so.
Well, damn.
But then she never said anything else about it. She just started talking about the boot factory where Charlie works and what a nice city Memphis is.
Well, so whatever happened to this Charlie?
Well, he came down to Hazelhurst just one more time. And Lenny took him up to the hospital to meet old Granddaddy. And after that, they cut it off.
Because of old Granddaddy.
Well, now, she said that it was on the count of her missing ovary, that he didn't want to marry her because of it.
How mean. How hateful.
It was. And he seemed like such a nice man, too. You know, kind of chubby, with curly red hair and freckles, and always telling these funny jokes.
That doesn't sound quite right. There is something about that story that does not seem quite right.
Hmm. Wow. That damn missing ovary. Story of my life.
I love this piece.
That looks like a lot of fun. Looks like you guys are having a lot of fun doing it. What a fun scene.
We've had a lot of fun. Our cast has a blast every single
time. Does that mystery ever get resolved, or is that a spoiler?
We do find her missing ovary at the end of the show.
It was under the dining room
table. It was in the couch cushions.
That was not the mystery I was speaking of.
Oh my gosh, that's funny, Lisa.
That's good. So y'all are opening soon as well, this weekend?
We have the exact same dates. Yes, we open this Friday until February 5th.
Okay, and how are they? Are y'all ready?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. And where can folks go to get more information about this show?
Go to citytheater.org, please.
Citytheateraustin.org.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And when do you close? You didn't?
February 5th.
The exact same run.
The exact same thing.
We won't get to see each other.
That's why we chose the two of you to be here together.
We knew.
We knew.
We're magical like that.
We knew. Well, I wish y'all the best of luck. I'm so happy you're here. Hopefully, I would love for y'all to come to backstage, and we can discuss more about City Theater and what's going on with them backstage and be a little vocal about it if we want.
Sure.
Sounds good?
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That was Shannon Embry and Hannah Lane Farrell of City Theater's production of Beth Henley's Crimes of the Heart. For more information, you may visit citytheateraustin.org. We'll be right back.
You need a partner in crime.
Nicole Shearer, you're my partner in crime.
I was just about to say, you know, you're my partner in crime. I don't.
And you know who else is my partner in crime?
Nick.
Nick Mayo.
Mayo.
Nick Mayo. Well, this was a fun show. Thank you guys, everybody, for being
here.
Thank you for having us.
Talk for a little bit.
Well, you know, if you missed the show or you want to do the cool thing, you can go to offstageonair.com. Enter your email right in the box, and Lisa, Nick, and I will be delivered each week.
Yeah.
Shazam!
You should actually do that because you also get things that you don't hear on the
like
broadcast.
Like the backstage that we were just talking like about backstage. That we're going to do.
We should bring the trivia question back.
You know, I was wondering when
totally
we should do that.
Totally forgot about the trivia
okay,
question.
Okay, well, let's do
so,
that.
So we would have a trivia question that we'd pose on
during
the broadcast and answer at backstage.
Well, the book is back.
But that's good. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can get us on Twitter, on TuneIn, Stitcher.
I was about to say Stitcher.
We can stitch us up on Stitcher.
Twitter.
But also, please like us on Facebook.
Yes, please
do. We need validation. Please
you can
tweet
leave
us
lovely
on the
reviews on the iTunes about now, how awesome this show is.
In between reading Donald Trump tweets, you could tweet to Offstage on Air.
You know what? Yeah. Why not?
Or you could just skip the Donald Trump.
Or you could skip, well, you know what? I have to admit, and just very quickly in the last 30 seconds, I did follow Donald Trump because that's how he disseminates information. So
yeah,
now
yeah.
I'm trying
to
get in the habit. I'm not a very good Twitterer. I'm trying to get better about just checking at least his feed every morning to see what our president is who he's cutting down.
Yeah.
I don't want to say he's mean, but he's mean. Austin Monitor News is next if you're listening to us on the broadcast. If you're listening to us on the podcast, and you should be, stick around. We will tarry ourselves backstage.
Ooh, yes, good we are choice not, of language today.
We are not moribund.
No.
Not at all.
You are on fuego.
So Monday is Martin Luther King Day, and this was chosen for the king. All we'll right. See you next week.
Look at me.
Curtain has just come down on Surprise the Musical, the story of a hapless young person who learned surprising news when they probably shouldn't have learned that news. Blah, blah, blah. The Musical! Okay. Welcome to Backstage. We have a small group here today. We love small groups, and it's also good because we don't have a lot of time here today.
It's because we're wee people ourselves.
We have the crew from City Theater. We have Shannon Embry and Hannah Lane Farrell. Welcome to Backstage.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you.
Get real right up on those microphones, ladies, if you wouldn't mind. I hope you don't mind being here amongst the dumpsters.
Oh, our theater's just next door, so we're very used to it.
That's yeah, true.
Not a problem.
We share
they
a dumpster
hang out
with
in the
City
same
Theater.
Dumpster area.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, before we talk about anything heady, if we decide to talk about it, really quickly, Hannah, where you said you're from Boston. Is that where you grew up?
Well, actually, no. I'm originally born and raised from Memphis, Tennessee, and then I went to boarding school.
I get those two mixed up all the time.
Boston and Memphis. I know, they're so alike. I went to a boarding school for high school just outside of Boston called Groton.
Uh-huh.
And then I studied theater at Boston University, and my family ended up kind of gravitating up
migrating
there.
That
right.
Way.
And then some of us now have migrated. I have two brothers that live in Houston.
Oh.
So I moved here this past April.
Wow. Yeah. And just to be close to family?
I missed the South, to be honest.
Okay.
It really
it's because
down
snow
to
is a four-letter word.
Okay, the last
I'm
two
a
winters,
fan of snow.
The last two
the
winters,
last two
in
winters
Boston
have been hard.
Were insane. Yeah. I had to be lowered out of a window so that I could dig out the front door more than once. I'm not kidding. I was like, "That's enough. That's just too much. Too much."
When you wake up and the snowdrifts are higher than you in the window,
yes,
it's
yes.
time to go.
I know.
So did you do theater in Memphis?
I did. I started doing theater. I started doing community theater when I was, I think I was 10 or 11 was my
first. Well, you should know.
My first ever show. It was A Christmas Carol at Theater Memphis, a community
cool.
theater there.
Yeah. What did you play?
I was one of the urchins.
You know, I was going to say, were you an urchin?
Were you?
I was.
But you did.
And I didn't even know there were urchins in the show, but yeah.
It's because you love that urchin. Dickens.
I assume there would be. I love Charles Dickens.
I know, and you know he likes to write about the urchins.
I do. He is actually, do y'all like to read
yes.
Dickens?
Yeah.
He's so fun to read. His use of language is very fun.
I agree.
He writes purdy.
Yeah, he's a good one, that guy.
And so you went to school up near Boston mm-hmm. in Groton. Did you know that, by the way, au gratin, the cooking term, is not cheese?
No, it's fromage is cheese.
Yeah. Groton yeah. is about the is
the way
firing it.
Yeah.
Oh,
the,
really?
Yeah, I know. Oh. You always think of something like au gratin, it means, oh, there's going to be cheese, which there usually is.
Yeah.
If it's good, there is.
Exactly.
I think I knew that because I spoke French, but not because of cooking.
I see. So So why Austin?
I came here last, I guess it was almost 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and ran the Cap 10K here, because
mm-hmm.
one of my brothers at the time was living here, and I just fell in love with it. I was here for about a week, and I just was like, I just loved it.
And you jumped right into the theater community here.
I did. Well, yeah, I've been here since April, but I was traveling a lot for work when I first got here, and so,
Is this your first show here in town?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, Mazel Tov.
Oh, well, that's exciting.
Welcome.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
And it sounds like we noticed that it's a fun
that's
thing.
That's exciting.
It
so you have
like
a fun
great.
Cast. I know Chad, who does yeah, the education
Chad,
over
yeah.
at Zach, and he hasn't been in a show in forever.
Oh, really?
No, and he was all like, in Crimes of the Heart. And I got really excited.
Did he whisper like that?
He did, because yeah. we were in a meeting.
Yeah, he does that a lot on stage. We always have to.
No, really. He was saying it's a really cool group of people. So that's exciting.
Yeah,
it's fun.
It's interesting because we get along so well. We just have so much fun. It's like our director almost has to tell us constantly, all right, stop socializing and we're actually going to do stuff now. We're going to rehearse because we all just like each other that much. So it's a great chemistry.
His
face lit up talking about it. So yeah. I got excited knowing he told me they were coming on the show, not you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't tell people many things. I keep things close to the belt. That way, secret. That's the way I maintain my control. Shannon, where are you from?
I grew up in Houston,
Texas.
Yes, Houston, okay. Texas. Then I lived in New York for a few years, but moved back to Austin.
Now, what part of Houston did you grow up in?
It was in the Northwest Cypress Champions area.
Okay.
Yes.
So now, when I moved away from Houston, Cypress was a whole nother
Cypress
city.
Cypress.
It was a whole nother city. Yeah. I did a walkathon that left out of the Cypress High School. So you're Houston to New York.
Then back to Austin.
Back to Austin. Did you do theater in Houston?
I did. I did do theater in Houston. I've lived in Austin my whole adulthood, though, okay. With the exception of those New York years. I have a bit of a story. So I did a lot of musical theater before I moved away to New York with the former Austin Musical Theater.
We performed. Oh, you were with AMT.
Yeah, and then when I moved back to Austin, I had twins. And they're 10 years old now.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I've just been doing little performance art things over the past few years, and they finally have gotten to where they're busy at night. They're into dance and gymnastics. And I, a few months ago, said, I'm going back, and I got this part. And so I'm really thrilled to be
great.
Back
so
on
you're,
stage.
Great. So you're back yes. on stage now.
Yeah. This well, is why stage. I thought this was so cool about yeah. your, all of your yeah. cast, like yeah. these yeah. moments again of like,
well, we're thrilled to have yeah. you. We love old AMT people. And, you know, my co-host before Nicole was Stuart Moulton.
Stuart.
Oh, of course, yes.
Who was the production manager or something, company manager.
He did a ton. Yeah, I was like, what didn't he do?
I moved here right after AMT closed. I mean, literally, I think Wizard of Oz was the last one.
I think
and that's,
you.
I moved right afterwards.
It was like, what, like within a month or two. Because yeah, we moved here right now.
Yeah, it was
right
pretty close to when mm-hmm. AMT. So I don't know any of those people. Well, I mean, I know all the people that did.
We each got the cosmic memo and showed up on the cosmic train around the
we
same
did.
Time.
So you are a triple threat.
I don't dance very well.
Okay. So you are a actor who sings and moves well.
She has a beautiful
voice. You're a singer. Wait, no, sorry. You're a singer actor who moves well.
I'm a singer actor who moves. Yes. I've been taking beginner ballet classes for several years, and I was really excited after 2 years to move to beginner two. So,
lovely.
I'm
are you taking
along.
Classes at Ballet Austin?
It was at Slava Nadal, and I haven't taken them there in about a year.
Oh,
but
okay.
I do hope to be back great. when the show's.
So tell us about your time in New York.
Well, I really just had a corporate job, was looking for a way to be in the city, so you know, spent several years there. And,
did you audition while you were there?
I didn't, no. What I did do, which was the most wonderful, culturally enriching thing for me, though, is there was a little hotline that you could call every day, and if a show was listed on the hotline, you could get a ticket for $1.50 to a Broadway or off-Broadway show, two tickets for $1.50, and I was single and living in the city and would just go four times a week to see a Broadway or off-Broadway show, had great seats.
Great.
And I learned so much. And yeah, that was
a great
really
experience.
Transformative experience for me to see that much theater.
So that's great. I love New York stories. Did you ever consider doing any auditioning while you were there?
Yes, I did. I'm not sure looking back, it was so feels so long ago, what was really going in my head that I didn't.
It's hard. What about classes? Did you take classes?
Yes, I did. I took classes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing I love about New York actors. We talk about this here. They're if they're not performing, they're taking classes. Always protecting and preserving their class.
Perfecting.
Right.
So
honing that craft.
So both of you guys are in the show at City Theater, and I apologize to my listeners. I apologize to you. You guys did not know about this Biden Payne Award thing.
Right.
And we were talking between the shows, and we only presumed that Andy Berkowski, who runs City Theater, hopefully he knows about it, because it would be a shame if
you were
he
the
wasn't
one
informed.
That let him know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
sad. So I'm hoping there's some sort of appeal process.
Me too.
Because yeah. he does, well, he does I, there's
I,
some good work
I would
being
think
done
there would have
door.
To be some sort of process, because if you're taken off at some point, how do you get reinstated back in there?
That's true.
So, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what is the penalty length? How do you get reinstated? So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know what?
But how has maybe your experience been so far at the theater, okay?
We've had a great, you know, I would also be curious to know kind of what the like follow-up process is when there's a complaint filed. I mean, is it just the complaint and it's done, or is there an actual like inspection? I don't know. But I've had nothing but like an amazing time the entire rehearsal process.
Right.
I mean, Andy is amazing. He's like always there busting around doing something. And like we've said, we had like a great cast and just an awesome director, and have had a lot of fun.
I'd say the director, Rod Meacham, is, you know, very occupied with safety and comfort at the theater as well. I mean, he's been, I don't know what's motivating him to do that. I just gotten the sense that was who he was, but it's been very positive.
Excellent. Yeah, he's well, very attentive.
And that's good news. And I mean, that goes to show you there's two sides to every story. So,
right.
So that some more at 11. But I'm really thrilled that you guys are back here and back into the community. And then, Shannon, really quickly, since you were a musical theater actor, what do you have a favorite musical or a favorite song from a musical?
Ditty. It's a boring choice, but I love Les Miserables.
That's not a boring choice.
I that know it's not. Boring choice.
Yeah. Did you like the movie when it came out?
I did. Yeah, I did. I got frustrated. You actually said something about it with La La Land, where I always want the very best performer to sing the song, and it frustrates me when they choose a star who might be okay, but you know how much better it can be.
Don't say bad things about Russell Crowe.
I won't say anything bad about Russell Crowe
was awful.
Yeah, but that part isn't written either.
Javert is an awful role. Yeah. I don't like the role. I don't think it's written well. Mm-hmm. I think they could do. I would like them. I would like him, long dead, to come back and rewrite that.
Yeah, so I think it would have been just as miserable all the way around. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it would have been nice to have somebody who could sing.
Yeah, you think? Yeah, you would. Yeah.
But do you like the? Do you? At the Neil Patrick Harris James Corden thing, they sang the what's it? Colette sings. I think it's Colette.
Cassette.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What did she sing?
In her little song.
Castle on the Cloud.
Castle on the Cloud.
Yeah, I think they were singing that.
I dreamed a dream. Oh, no, that's Fontaine. Oh, Cassette sings A Heart Full of Love.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. They sang one of them, but we're listening to it now.
Oh.
It's behind us.
Hear it. Oh, is
it's
it really?
Great. Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah.
Well, that worked out well, didn't
quite
it?
Quite lovely. You're magical.
Well, ladies, thank you for joining us backstage.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And best of luck on your run, and best of luck with the rest of your theater career here in Austin.
Thank you. Thanks
bye.
For having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Bye.
Thank you, guys. Dors en paix, mon enfant.
Ma Cosette.
Vous serez ma famille.